As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
The pop psychology of the day and the secular humanism of this day says, hey, anything the mind can conceive, your life can achieve, and all of that is nothing. Because when you stop and think about it, the Christian life is not about what I can do. It is to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Rooted Faith.
And when we have those circumstances and yet we have contentment, we know that someone has the grace of God. F.B. Meyer was writing on this passage and he wrote something that helped me to understand contentment. This is what he said. Where shall we find contentment? Where barns are full of grain and where sheds are full of cattle, where mansions overlook miles of parkland, where the feet sink ankle deep in the rich piles of carpet, where upholsterers have done their utmost to furnish the rooms with various elegance, where the murmur of the outer world hardly enters and where distracting care has no twig of which to perch. Not there. When human life is surrounded by every comfort and luxury, it is very often fullest of complaining and discontent. If we would find contentment, let us go to the homes where women are crippled with rheumatism or dying of cancer, where comforts are few, where long hours of loneliness are not broken by the intrusion of friendly faces, where the pittance of public charity hardly suffices for the necessary need to say anything of comfort. It is there that contentment reveals itself like a flower. How often in the homes of the wealthy one misses it. How often in the homes of the healthy, where there is buoyant health and wonderful surroundings, yet we cannot find contentment. So it was with the apostle, who was in the saddest part of his career, bound to the Roman soldier, enclosed in some narrow apartment, in touch with only a few friends, away from the happy scenes of earlier years, anticipating judgment at Nero's bar. He breaks out into the glorious expressions of rejoicing. He had learned how to be abased in the valley of the shadow. He had learned how to be content. And I've learned that many times, those that I visit with the best things and the most things often are the most dissatisfied. And sometimes those who've had the difficult hours and have little in this life, there's a joy and a smile on their face, and that is the presence of God in their life. Don't you remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 16? The Bible tells us he's thrown into the Philippian jail, and they thrust him into the inner prison. And Acts 16, 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, listen, my friends, we need to understand that in Christ, we can abound in the difficult times. Sometimes you can learn a lot from people who paid a price, people like Tyndale who gave his life to give us the Bible, and people like John Huss who burned at the stake because he believed in salvation through Jesus only, and some of the British reformers who were burned at the stake by Queen Mary. And I had the privilege of spending a little time at Cambridge and learning there about a man that I had read his books but never studied his life, and Charles Simeon was a man saved in Cambridge at 1779 as a student in the college. After he got saved and finished his education, he became a deacon at the church. And then he was asked, because of his fervor, he was asked by some of the elders to be the pastor of this church. And he was asked to be the pastor of the Trinity Church, Holy Trinity Church there. It was a church, of course, years prior had been Catholic, and now the Church of England had come into place, and there was some fires of evangelicalism beginning to burn. And this man, Simeon, began to preach. The problem was that in those days, it was the wealthy people that owned the pews, literally, or rented the pews. Even North Church in Boston and some of the early churches in America had that system. And these wealthy people didn't like Simeon. And so what they did, they padlocked the pews so no one would come to church. So when that happened, he put chairs in the middle of this large auditorium and he began to preach there. And they would come early and they would throw the chairs out in the lawn. And they did everything they could for several years to get rid of Simeon. Whenever he would lead people to Christ, they would call them Simeonites or Sims in derision. They used that term. He began to teach those Anglicans that communion was not a way of salvation. It was not for transubstantiation, but that the cup and the bread was for the remembrance of Jesus Christ. And he was viewed as being radical for that teaching. But he kept preaching and he kept teaching. And that church became a center for evangelism under the 54-year ministry of Charles Simeon, because he was a man who would not quit in the face of adversity. He was content to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that church, many went to India, Henry Martin and many others as missionaries. And from that church, 2,536 books and booklets with the gospel were published. And from that church was established the Church Missionary Society with a special outreach to Jews and Jewish evangelism. And God used this man in a marvelous, marvelous way. His books are still read to this very day. Now, all that's left of Charles Simeon is a little piece of concrete I found over his burial place in the back of Holy Trinity Church. 1836, he was buried there. The average tourist walking through Cambridge doesn't even know the man existed. They don't know that for 54 years he preached the gospel faithfully. They don't know that he helped people understand how to rightly divide the word of truth and sent missionaries all over his part of the world and down to India and even into Africa. But I want to tell you that there's a God in heaven who sustained him, and there's a God in heaven who knows that he was faithful and who welcomed him with those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You may have some big obstacle today, someone throwing your chairs around, someone trying to get rid of you. And I want you to know that while it may seem as though nobody here on this earth knows, there is a God in heaven who will help you to abound over your burdens and is keeping the record of your faithfulness. Paul abounded over his burdens, and Paul abounded over his affliction. He said in verse 12, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." He was a man that was able to take the pressure and find that God would sustain him. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he said, "We are troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." I think most of us know that if we're going to be Christians, I mean, really live for the Lord, I mean, live for God and be a witness for God and stand up for what is right, if we're going to live for Jesus Christ in this day, there will be some difficult times. All those that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said several years ago, "Devout Christians are destined to be regarded as fools in modern society." Fools. And if you're a pleasure-loving person and you want to be popular, then friend, you're not going to enjoy the Christian life every day if it's got to always be free of difficulty, because the Bible is clear that difficulty will come to the life of a true believer. The Liberty Institute issued a publication about the tremendous antagonism towards Christians that's on the rise in America today. It seems that in this era of tolerance, it's okay, and we're supposed to tolerate every perverted lifestyle, and we're supposed to tolerate every Eastern religion, but no one really wants to tolerate that scripture where we're taught that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you intend to be someone who believes that Jesus is the way to heaven, there's not going to be a lot of tolerance for you, my friend. There's going to be some difficulty, and it might be discouraging, but Paul said, "You know what? I've learned how to love God in the good times, and in the bad times, I've been able to love God and be faithful." And I say to you this morning, we can abound for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do all things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go AWOL. You don't have to quit. You can be faithful through the endowment of power from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, secondly, we can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped to think about this? Why was there a church at Philippi that he could write to? How did that ever get going anyways? How did this church here get going? Philippi began in Acts chapter 16 when the Apostle Paul obeyed the Holy Spirit to go to that European city of Philippi, and there he saw a woman named Lydia who was searching for God, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and was baptized, and there was a church there because Paul was faithful to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen here, there's a church here because of people who've been faithful to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is not the time to say, well, we got enough people, let's put it in neutral. No, this is the time to keep on witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, I didn't come here just to get a congregation to the size that I could get comfortable. That would have happened a long time ago. The reason we came here is not to get comfortable. The reason we came here is because there is a heaven and there is a hell, and people need to know how to go to heaven. And the way to go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for their sin. And you can witness for Christ. You can witness for Christ in the power of His Spirit. Do you realize that since 1967, 100 million people have been added to the population of the United States of America? Do you realize that now America is the third most populated country, only after China and India? And that in many of our cities, we're seeing cities that are something like a mission field in and of themselves because of the population growth. 314 million people call this country their home. In fact, since I first came to Lancaster, 10 million people have moved just to this state. People who need to know Christ as their Savior. People who are steeped in the false religions of Hinduism and Islam, Mormonism, and all the other cults that could be named. I'm telling you, people need the Lord. And we as Christians need to witness for Christ and let folks know of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 6,600 new Americans are placed on the rolls every day. Every 8 seconds, a new American is born. And every 14 seconds, there's one death. Every 46 seconds, there's someone that immigrates to America, and I think every 4 seconds, someone jumps the fence. I'm not sure. There's a lot of people getting into this country one way or another, right? And I'm just telling you, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Oh, we see people that go down the main streets and they have their banners and they have their cause. They're not ashamed of their beliefs. But we as Christians need to carry gospel tracts and have a heart of compassion and tell others about the Lord Jesus. We can abound. We can abound in the difficult times. We can witness for Christ. Let me say this. We can labor for Christ. This is the time for some of you not just to hear the choir. It's time to get in the choir. It's time for some of you not just to have an usher help you, but maybe to be an usher or help in the nursery or help somewhere. This is the time to be involved serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do that with His help. And you can be involved in the work of the Lord. Philippians 1:27 is the theme verse of our church. Look at what it says. Philippians 1:27. It's in your notes there. Only let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, let your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And listen, we're here as a local church together, rowing together. And as we give and serve and pray and love and help, we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we can do a great work for God on the backside of the desert. And we can see souls saved. By the grace of God, it can be done, you see. I was reading a comic book, Lucy and Linus, the other day. I get some of my deeper theology from Charlie Brown. And one of my favorite comics in this particular one, Lucy walks up to Linus and she says, I demand that you change those TV channels right now. And she threatened him like this when she said it. And he says, what makes you think you can walk right over here and tell me to change those channels? She said, these 5 fingers, that's what. Individually, they are nothing. But when I curl them into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. What channel do you want, Linus says. And he's walking over the television. He looks at his fingers. He says, why can't you guys get organized like that? You know, many Christians fail to recognize the synergistic potential of people working together, coming together. I'm talking about somebody this week inviting a friend to Lancaster Baptist Church. And somebody out in the parking lot, a member of our hospitality team, Not in the middle of the breezeway fellowshipping with other members of the hospitality team, but out in the parking lot waiting for that visitor. Greeting them with a friendly smile, bringing them to an usher who helps their family get situated, who lovingly seats them, a choir that sings, ushers that are ready, a church family that serves. Hey, we're glad you're here. Here's my Bible. You see, if we all strive together, great things can be done for God. If we all come together and have this spirit, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm telling you, the spirit of our faith needs to be a personal spirit. It needs to be a positive spirit. The scope of our faith is all things for Christ. But then notice finally, the supply of our faith. How do we make this verse more than just a jargon? How do we make this verse real in our lives this week? Well, let's read it one more time, Philippians 4:13. I'm going to read the first part, and I want you to read the last three words, which strengtheneth me, all right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, all right? The supply of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and when we come to the end of ourselves, he says, I've got what you need. And I want you to understand something today. God is not attracted to our strengths. Sometimes people say, well, I went to this church and this college, I have this and this and this, and therefore, God, here I am, and I know you can really use me because look at all that I have and all that I am. But did you know that many times God is not attracted to the strengths that we have to offer him? He's attracted to our weakness. He's looking for people who know that we're not much and that he's everything. Let me show you what I mean by that. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. Here is a weak man, the Apostle Paul, schooled in the school of Gamaliel. He had great educational background, but at a moment of weakness with physical infirmity, we see the Apostle Paul asking God for healing. And God says to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, Paul's supply, his strength, which strengtheneth me, was the power of Christ. And it was because he saw his limitation and admitted his limitation that God strengthened him and God used him. And you might be hurting physically today. You might be hurting emotionally today. You might be facing a difficulty with your children or with many other situations, and you might feel like you are on your last leg. And I'm just trying to tell you this morning that in that very moment, you are a candidate for the help of Almighty God. Because a lot of times when we've got it all together, we don't even think to ask God to help us. But when we know that we have the need, and I want you to think about just a few things as we close that God supplies for us. The supply of God for us. You know, the first thing God wants to supply for you, if you've never received it, he wants you to know the supply of salvation. It is through his blood that we are redeemed. And I thank God that he supplied a covering for my sin. Because friends, I got to tell you, I am a sinner like you. I was born in sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the fact of the matter is that I was hopeless and helpless apart from the covering for my sin, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You think about that. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Virgin, of the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ lived a perfectly sinless life. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet he was without sin. He was the perfectly sinless Son of God. And yet the Bible tells us that he went voluntarily. He went vicariously on your behalf and mine. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. There's nothing righteous about me. There's no way that I could ever be declared righteous. But the righteous Son of God shed his blood on a cross. And when those Roman soldiers put the pierced nails through his hands and the crown of thorns upon his head and the spear through his side and then the nails through his feet, the blood that came flowing down was not the blood from our Adamic race, for he was not conceived of a human father. The blood that came flowing down, the blood that was efficacious and that speaks forgiveness today, was the blood of God being shed for you and for me. And it is through his blood that we are redeemed. And I want to tell you something now. You'll not go to heaven by getting baptized in the baptistry waters of this church. And you don't go to heaven because you give to the March of Dimes and you're a good guy. And you don't go to heaven because your grandpappy is a Baptist preacher. There's one way to heaven, and that's by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. Admitting and confessing to the Lord that we are sinners, that we fall short, and turning to him alone for our salvation. Oh, listen, what does Jesus have to offer? What is the supply that he gives? He gives salvation today for all who believe. It's through his blood that I'm redeemed. Let me say this. It's through his word that I'm furnished. Sometimes we get saved and we find out after we're saved, there's still a lot of questions I got to have answers for. I don't really know what to do about this and what to do about this. Well, I'm happy to tell you, my friend, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, this Bible knows what we're thinking. It's alive. It knows what we're needing. It's God's word. Sometimes people come and say, did my wife tell you what to preach today? You know, did she email you all that? I'm so glad to tell you, my friends, God knew what you needed when you walked into this door this morning. His word speaks. His word is alive. And his word is given by his spirit that we might be perfected or matured and that we might be furnished. Do you see that in verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3? That we might be furnished unto all good works. He says, I'm going to redeem you by my blood. I'm going to furnish you with my word. And then let me show you this. Through his spirit, we are empowered. You say, well, I don't understand this. I can do all things through Christ. Look at that phrase again, which strengtheneth me. How does he strengthen me? Is it like a B12 shot? Is it some kind of therapy? No. When it says, which strengtheneth me, he's talking about his spirit in us. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That word strengthening means to be endued with power, to make strong. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are as branches without sap. We are as coals without fire. We are useless without the Spirit of God. And if you are a Christian, then you are born again, not by a church. You are born again by the Spirit of God who indwells your life and who strengthens your life. And Jesus said in John 14, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, but he neither seeth him, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Listen to this, for he dwelleth in you. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in you to strengthen you, to comfort you, to help you to forgive, to help you to stand when you would fall, to help you keep on keeping on. And God says, look, I want you to understand the spirit of faith is I can. It's a personal thing. You've got to believe that. I want you to understand the scope of faith. I can do all things, my serving, my witnessing, all these things that I'm involved in. I can do this through Christ because he's the supplier of my strength. He's the one who gives me salvation, who gives me his word, who gives me his spirit. He's the one who enables me to do the things that he's called me to do. My friend, I'm so glad today that with God's calling comes God's enabling. It doesn't matter if you're facing a doctor's appointment tomorrow, or you're leaving home for the first time, or something in between. With God's calling comes God's enabling. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I don't know what you're facing this week, but I want you to take that little verse like a peg in the wall, hang your hat on it, and this week remember, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily.